That is good news. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. When God came to our earth to save us from sin, that's the true message of Christmas. Let's rejoice once again. Just give God praise for his goodness. That song, Joy to the World, was written by Isaac Watts in 1719. And he was inspired by reading Psalm 98. But Isaac Watts actually wrote Joy to the World about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You can hear it in the last stanza. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove. But it was the first stanza that captured the hearts and minds of people that parallels the Christmas story and is the reason why it traditionally has been sung as a Christmas carol now nearly 300 years. Listen again to the words of the first stanza. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. It parallels the Christmas story. Listen, it begins with this word of joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That is the message that the angel gave to the shepherds who were tending their sheep at night there in Bethlehem. It was a message of joy. Listen to the words of the angel in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And they were greatly terrified," or King James says, "sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Be not afraid, do not be afraid, for today I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It is a story of joy. Now, how is the birth of the baby Jesus a story of joy? The answer is because when Jesus comes into the world, he brings peace into chaos. He brings light into darkness. He brings love where there is a lonely world. He brings forgiveness where there is a sinful world. The idea that God so loved us that he enters our world, takes on flesh, dies for our sins so that we might have forgiveness of our sins and go to heaven when we die, if that isn't a good news full of joy, I don't know what is. But joy needs to be distinguished from happiness because it's not the same. Happiness versus joy. Happiness is something that's very temporal. It's all based on events and circumstances. Happiness is very circumstantial. If all the events and circumstances of your life are going pretty well, then you're happy. And if all the events and circumstances of your life are not going so well, bye-bye happiness. That's just the way happiness goes. It comes and it goes based on however life is for you at the moment. And I know this is supposed to be the happiest time of the year, but attention, Walmart shoppers. If you haven't noticed, sometimes you can meet the nastiest people this time of year. All this fighting, all the wars that go on in department stores, people fighting over the same toys. The road rage that happens at the parking lot of every mall when people are trying to fight for that one parking spot. Even family can get a little tense this time of year. Have your little family get-togethers at Christmas time. You don't get all the presents you thought you were going to get. Turns out you just get oranges and underwear. You know that Christmas? Remember that Christmas? Oranges and underwear. Or at the family gathering, Aunt Martha's always having a little too much eggnog. Old Uncle Charlie's always standing underneath the mistletoe hoping for some free love somewhere. Grandma's got an attitude. You almost wish somebody would get run over by a reindeer. Do you know what I'm saying? Even families, it can be tense. I mean, happiness comes, happiness goes. Very circumstantial, very temporal. Versus joy. Joy is eternal because joy is relational. Joy is based on a relationship with Jesus. Joy is in knowing Jesus. And it's the reason why then you can still have peace when there's chaos in your life because you can still have the joy of Jesus. You can still know security in the midst of adversity because you can know Jesus. You can have that hope in the midst of hopelessness because you can know Jesus. And therefore, it transcends whatever the circumstances are. And it's the reason why Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, I greatly rejoice because in all my troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And those of you who know Jesus know what I'm talking about. Because maybe for some of you, maybe this year you're missing somebody. Maybe they've gone on to be with the Lord, and this Christmas is a little lonelier than last Christmas. But you can still have joy. Or maybe for some of you, you just got bad news from a doctor, and this year is a little scarier than last year. But you can still have joy. Or maybe for some of you, you're experiencing financial hardships, and this Christmas is a little leaner than last year. But you can still have joy because you can have Jesus. And in Jesus is joy. In John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus said, as my Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. And then a couple of verses later, he says, I have told you these things so that you might have joy and that your joy might be complete. The story of Christmas is a story about joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Listen, let earth receive her King. The story of Christmas is all about also a King who entered our world 2,000 years ago. Now, not a king in the way we would think of an earthly ruler, an earthly king who's defined by the size of his military or the boundaries of his country. Not the kind of king who lives in a palace or dines with dignitaries, but a king nonetheless. Because you remember that in the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew talks about some wise men, some magi, who came from the east because they followed a star that God had put in place to shine on the place where the Lord Jesus was. And Matthew tells us that those wise men came in search of a king. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And then these experts in the law quote from the prophet Micah. It's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You see, Jesus is King of the universe. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and he comes to earth. And even the wise men said, we've come to find that who has been born King of the Jews. The prophecy said about Jesus, he would be the ruler and the shepherd of the people of Israel. Now, there's an irony in this whole idea about Jesus being king, because if you remember, at this particular time, there were plenty of earthly kings. I mean, the Bible talks about King Herod, who was a king over a local area of Judea underneath the Roman Empire. But above Herod, you have Caesar Augustus, an emperor, a king. Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Senate had conferred upon Caesar Augustus the full rights and power and privileges of a military dictator. Caesar Augustus was a king. He was an emperor. He was a dictator. Now, he was not born Caesar Augustus. That's not his given name. His birth name was Gaius Octavius. He became Caesar Augustus because he took on the name Caesar from his great uncle Julius Caesar. And he got the title Augustus, or Augustus in Latin, from the Roman Senate, because Augustus in Latin means the exalted one. And the Roman Senate decided that Caesar Augustus, listen to this, they declared him to be a god. Now, here is the irony in this. Think about when Jesus comes into the world. Luke's gospel makes it clear it was during the days of Caesar Augustus, when he was emperor and king, and when Quirinius was governor of Syria. That's what Luke 2 verses 1 and 2 tells us. Luke is very precise about this is when Jesus comes into the world. He comes into the world when Caesar Augustus is king and the Senate thinks that he's God. Listen to the irony. At a time when a man, so it was thought, became a god, God became a man. Jesus comes, enters our world, takes on flesh, breathes our air, dies for our sins, rises again for our salvation. He is King Jesus, joy to the world. Now, interestingly, I read last year a study that Time Magazine did on the 100 most significant people who ever lived. Okay, not just from last year, but 100 most significant people who ever lived, and listen to how they did their data research, because it's pretty heady. I mean, this is smart stuff. Listen to this. It says, quote, "We evaluated each person by aggregating millions of traces of opinions into a computational data-centric analysis." Doesn't that sound smart? And it says, quote, "We ranked historical figures, just as Google ranks web pages, by integrating a diverse set of measurements about their reputation into a single consensus value," end quote, okay? So this is what they did. They compiled all historical figures from the beginning of time into this computational analysis. Number one most significant person of all time, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the most significant who ever lived. Number two were the Kardashians, by the way. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I don't get the fascination there at all. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, some of those in the top 10, not the Kardashians, some of those in the top 10, George Washington, Alexander the Great, Aristotle. You know who's missing from the entire list of 100 most significant people? Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus, not on the list. What is Caesar's claim to fame? A salad. That's it. A salad. That and maybe a really angry monkey with an attitude who wants apes to rule the planet. But that's a whole other thing. That's it. Caesar. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Listen, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. The birth story, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus is also a story of great rejoicing. There is singing. Let heaven and nature sing. Remember that after the one angel announced to the shepherds there in the fields of Bethlehem about the birth of Jesus, the Bible says then that that one angel was joined by a whole chorus of angels. In Luke 2, verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" I want you to imagine if you could transport yourself there in your minds 2,000 years ago, very still, calm, dark night in Bethlehem, on the hillsides, one angel appears, and then suddenly a whole host of angels, just a multitude of angels, lighting up the night sky with the splendor and the glory of God upon them, declaring the praises of God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And here we are 2,000 years later, still singing his praises, still worshiping him as King and Lord and Savior. But it's the middle part of the first stanza of Joy to the World that is most challenging to all of us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. That's the most challenging part of the Christmas story. Because if you remember that even when Jesus was born, there was no room for him. In Luke 2, verse 7, it says, "And she," that is Mary, "brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Why? It says because there was no room for them in the inn. You remember this time of year was a census issued by the Roman Empire, and so everybody had to go to their place of historical ancestry for Mary and Joseph. It was Bethlehem. They were descendants of David. And a lot of other people went to Bethlehem too and beat Mary and Joseph there. And so the one inn, or however many there were all full. And Mary and Joseph had no room. Imagine this, the Creator, there's no room for the Creator to come and stay here. And that's why they end up in what we commonly call a stable. It was probably more like a cave. And baby Jesus was laid in a manger. A manger is an animal feeding trough. Because why? There was no room for them. And sadly, the truth is today that there are still some people who hang a no vacancy sign over their hearts and say, there's no room for Jesus in my life either. That's the challenging part about this story. In 1864, there's another old Christmas hymn that we don't often sing much anymore. It was written by Emily Elliott. It was called, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. And she captures this idea of no room and yet still room in our hearts. And she wrote this, Thou didst leave thy throne and thy heavenly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home, there was found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Is there? Is there room tonight in your heart for Jesus? Because that's what the Christmas story is all about. And I'm going to invite you tonight to accept him and to receive him so that this Christmas can be the most incredible, most special Christmas you've ever experienced by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to have Pastor Mike and the worship team come, and then here's the invitation for you. They're going to sing a special song here. And when they start singing, I'm going to invite anybody who wants to receive Christ, who wants to make room in your heart for Jesus tonight, if you don't already know him, to make a bold decision for Jesus tonight and to step out from your seat and to come down front here. And some of the pastors on staff here at Cornerstone are going to be standing down front here. And you're going to be able to come and just quietly visit with them and pray to receive Christ as your Savior while the worship team is singing this song. Listen to this. Christmas is an opportunity for you to receive the most precious gift ever given to mankind. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Please don't leave here tonight shortchanging yourself and missing the greatest gift that's ever been given to humanity. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, boldly, unashamedly, get out from your seat, come stand down front here, and pray with one of our pastors and receive him tonight, because God so loves you that he wants you to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So when they start this song, don't delay, because they're just going to sing this song through and then we're going to be done with one final a cappella of Joy to the World. So if you're kind of teetering on the fence, decide right now that you want to receive Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to make it easy for people. I don't want you to have to kind of trample over everybody's knees to get out of your row. So why don't we go ahead and just stand together. Let's everybody stand. Pastors, if you'll come. As they sing, you come. You receive Christ. And listen, this is a safe place to receive him. Your friends and family here, they'll applaud you when you come. So make that bold decision for Christ today before you leave.
too far. So lay down your hurts, lay down your hearts, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table and come taste the rest. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your
rejoice over one sinner who repents. So let's join together with the angels in heaven and praise the Lord for those who have received Christ as their Savior.